I'm in.
This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek coming to you from Lexington, Kentucky.
And I am Kim Baker from Denver, Colorado, and you are listening to a special episode of the Kim Baker Show on Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 26, episode 1133. This episode is brought to you by BioStar US. Good morning, Horse World.
And now we're going to scroll down and look for the Kim Baker starting music because we have quite an active herd of gremlins this morning on the show. And they've done all sorts of things, but they have
not
touched
Kim Baker. Where are we going today, Mr. Peabody?
And I'm feeling good.
Welcome to the special monthly Kim Baker episode on Horses in the Morning, where our clever co-hosts explore the amazing connection between horses, animals, and humans.
So this is what happens to live shows.
this is a really funny one. This little gremlin crawling around causing voices to go through places they shouldn't. So it's been quite the fun morning, and Glenn's been busily trying to get back in. And he's going to get here in just a second. We think we figured it out now.
That's fine. Not a problem.
Hey, Kim. I think we figured it out, and that was all Jennifer's fault.
Well, we're not making this stuff up, right? We don't.
I'm going to be on my phone because we haven't gotten the other system quite figured out. We got to Lexington last night after midnight, and we only got to the Kentucky Horse Park this morning about a half an hour before the show started, and obviously that wasn't enough time to get everything figured out. So we're
That's
here.
Fine. That's great. You guys are in Kentucky. My cat probably is going to join us in the conversation because every time I get on the phone, he has to meow. So we'll just have a party. It works out, you know?
We're at the, if you hear a lot of background noise, we're at the Kentucky Horse Park getting ready for Road to the Horse. So that starts today around noontime. But all the vendors are getting set up, and the competitors are here, and you see everybody walking around. So who knows who might stop by?
Who might?
Morning.
In fact, the guest for today is he's there as well. So I wasn't sure if we should just have him come over, or he might be busy prepping anyway. So we'll just give him a call like normal. But yes, he's there as well.
Well, it probably was a good idea you didn't have him come over. Nothing seems to be working anyway.
That's right?
So that's probably a good idea that you didn't. So what's up, Kim?
So today I'm going to do a reading of Christine's horse Pebbles, and then we're going to discover how horsemanship is a metaphor for life and relationships. And maybe we can throw in some of these gremlins in there as well.
I'll be interested to see what your medicine card says this morning.
And then the guest today is Jesse R. Peters. He is going to explain how horsemanship applies to training zoo animals.
Oh, wow.
I saw an ad for him in Horse and Rider magazine and saw that he was, you know, using horsemanship to work with zoos and train the trainers and the zoo animals, and I was just fascinated. I was like, I have to have him on the show. So I emailed him, he called me, we had a great conversation, and so it should be really exciting to talk about this. And that's what we have on tap for today. Does that work for you, Glenn?
That works fine for me. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I am going to... let Jennifer join you for the medicine cards here, because really I don't want to hear what they have to say today. Because
come on, Ben. This is when you need
you have
it
to
most.
Pull a good positive one. Don't pull a bad one. All right. I'm going to try and reconnect to our system while you're on with Jennifer, and hopefully we can get this correct.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right,
Jennifer, relay.
Poor
medicine cards.
Do you have a medicine card that has like a tornado or a hurricane or an earthquake?
Well, no, because it's not weather; it's all animals. So let's see.
Let's see here. How about a Tasmanian devil?
Right, a Tasmanian devil. Mm,
let's see what we get.
Okay. Oh, so I pulled the jaguar.
Oh no.
Oh, this should be a good one. Jaguars happen to be my favorite big cats.
They're my favorite car.
They're amazing, amazing creatures. Okay, so jaguar represents integrity and impeccability.
Okay.
So this ought to be interesting.
Yeah.
Okay, so jaguar medicine is integrity and impeccability. Its mission is to devour the unclean aspects of human behavior. Jaguar teaches us the penalties of inappropriate behavior. Cat, stop. He's trying to eat my breakfast. And offers the rewards of
food
medicine. Inappropriate behavior. And offers the rewards of good medicine to those who stand in their personal integrity and walk through life in an impeccable manner. If jaguar is roaming your dream reality today, its primal roar may be rewarding you for maintaining your integrity in some situation where you could have easily misused your authority. You may have been unwilling to pass judgment on another or to be self-serving. Were you especially kind to someone or do a good deed that was unexpected? If so, allow the recognition to fill you with feelings of well-being and continue to serve with compassion and open-hearted integrity. Do not falter in your resolve to be your personal best at all times. Maintain your dignity, devotion, compassion, holding to forthrightness and honesty, no matter what the contrary influences, a.k.a. gremlins. Do not feed any self-important need to be an enlightened one, treating others in a self-righteous manner. Jaguar medicine teaches you that personal integrity allows for mistakes, embraces forgiveness, and humbly makes self-directed corrections, allowing for a rebalanced spirit to triumph once again. So that means we can triumph for the gremlins.
Can we hear? Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Glenn.
That's good, because I came back and it said maintain. And all I heard, the first thing you said was maintain your dignity. That's the first thing I heard. Now I'm going to put Jennifer on mute because we think we figured out that's where I was hearing myself twice, and it seems to be working now. So I think we're good.
Oh, good.
It worked. We're back.
All right.
I
well,
feel
let's,
better
let's
now.
Give... You guys doing okay? You hearing everything okay?
Yes, I am back. Sorry.
No, that's fine. We just roll with it here. Come on, Glenn. Don't you know by now? It works. I'm not concerned.
No, you know how to do this by yourself, so I could bail out and you'd be fine. good.
That's true.
So now you are going to... Oh, it's time for our inspirational message.
Yep. All right. So who we are. It's where we go and what we do when we get there that tells us who we are. This is by Joyce Carol Oates.
That's appropriate for this morning. We got here late last night. Trying to figure it all out this morning. So that kind of works.
But you know what? That's the way life is, right? It's like you can either just roll with it or you can fight it and just let it kind of smack you in the face and all that stuff. But I think we're just rolling with it.
Yes, we're rolling with it. And, you know, this kind of thing, we get to a venue the day before, and we can have time to set up and make sure everything's working. That didn't happen last night. Atlanta held us up. Atlanta always holds us up on that trip up. You never can get through Atlanta without a major traffic jams.
Oh,
24 hours a day. Yeah, Atlanta's no fun that way. But we're here, so let's roll on with your adoptable horse for the morning.
All right, let's see if I can find the adoptable horse. Oh, it's actually not a horse.
It's not a horse? We're not adopting a horse today?
No, we're adopting a burro.
Oh, okay.
And her name is Porsche. I don't know who named her Porsche. It's kind of
odd. Yeah, because they're so fast.
I know, right? Anyway, she's a Jenny, meaning a female that is very full of personality. She's very friendly and gentle. She is halter trained, leads very well. She picks up her feet and has been trimmed. If you're looking for a great animal to be a companion to you or your herd, she is perfect for you. She's up to date on all of her farrier work, which we just mentioned. I don't write these things, by the way. Dental work and vaccinations. The Denver Dumb Friends League Harmony Equine Center is open to the public Friday through Sunday from 11 to 3, except for major holidays. And you can see her photo on our Facebook pages. She really is adorable. And you can find out more on their website, which is ddfl.org. And that web address again is ddfl.org.
Very good. Well, we are here on Horses in the Morning. Kim is. I'll try and remind everybody now that I'm back. Kim is here the fourth Thursday of every month, and we always have a good time with the Kim Baker episode. We are going to be getting to as soon as I think she's giving us a call. So we're waiting for our listener to call in, Christine. But in the meantime, what have you been up to over the last month?
Oh gosh. I've been up to a lot of different things. We had the Rocky Mountain Horse Expo a couple of weekends ago here in Denver. I had some of my, I don't know if I've shared with everybody, but I'm also a photographer. So I entered several of my pieces into the art show, and one of them was accepted. And it's of a black Percheron that's all decked out in their driving gear. And so it's a really cool angle of seeing the braided mane with the harnesses, and then there's Denver's Union Station, which is our train station, in the background, and that came from the Stock Show Parade in January. And so it was really exciting to have that piece in the art show. And what else? I have the Yoga and Horses Retreat, which is coming up in May. It's May 28th through the 31st, so that's a Thursday through a Sunday. It is in Grand Lake, Colorado, which is in the mountains here in Colorado. We are nestled at the western base of the Rocky Mountain National Park, which is a huge national park here. Beautiful, beautiful. You don't have to know yoga. You can be any level of
You have
of
to be flexible.
Well, As I mentioned before, like I really take the methodology from yoga and apply it to the horses, and then I'm also kind of applying some of the horse methodology to yoga practice. So it's really cool. We do yoga, and this ranch has been around for, I think it's been in the family for 30 or almost 40 years. She has what she calls the Bible Barn. She's a 90-year-old woman, Glenn. Her name is Elaine.
Oh, wow.
Is a Spitfire.
Does she still do yoga?
She still rides. She gets all dressed up in her Western gear and her boots for dinner and entertains us with her stories. She's phenomenal. She's an inspiration. So we do yoga in the Bible Barn. We stay in the cabins. We're right next to the Colorado River. We go on trail rides into the park, and we do a bunch of, it's just all about reconnecting and rejuvenating yourself and giving yourself a little bit of a vacation in a beautiful scenery and having horses there with you.
And when was this again? Can you give the date?
This is May 28th through the 31st.
Ah, it'll be beautiful in Colorado then.
Exactly. Yep. It's beautiful, beautiful
Terrific.
Time. So please, you can go to my website, which is KB Natural Horsemanship, and you can find out all the information there. I have a little banner ad on my homepage and it's called the Yoga and Horses Retreat. This is the fifth year that we've been doing this, and we've had people come all 5 years, the same people. Just a couple of them. We get new people each year, but several of them have been with us all 5 years, so that's how awesome this retreat is.
Terrific. Does a 90-year-old still do yoga?
She doesn't actually do yoga.
Okay, I was just going to say, wow.
She walks and she rides her horse every now and then, but she has a little golf cart that she gets around on the ranch with, and she's just amazing.
Huh, that's terrific. Terrific. And we are here. I'm just watching everybody walk by at the Kentucky Horse Park. They're testing the music in the back. I don't know if you could hear that, but it was pretty loud for us. But that's because they're all gearing up. They're testing everything this morning and doing rehearsals.
Gotcha.
It gets kind of loud here. Have you ever been to the Kentucky Horse Park since they've put up the new Alltech Arena?
I haven't. I have not been. I've been wanting to go, so I'll have to get out there at some point.
You will. It's absolutely beautiful, and we are set up directly across from the shopping. And there's about 40 stands full of shopping stuff. But then you just got back from the expo, so you probably spent a lot of money.
Actually, I didn't spend a lot of money, which is good. I just connected with, you know, colleagues and clients and stuff. So, you know, talking a lot. Do we want to play the BioStar segment while we're waiting for Christine?
Sure. Yes,
yeah,
that would be terrific. Let's do that.
Yeah.
All right, let's do that. This, you want to introduce it?
Sure. All right, so this is our monthly installment of Ask the Expert segment with Tigger from BioStar US. And now it's time for another Ask the Expert segment with Tigger from BioStar US. Welcome, Tigger.
Hi.
The winter to spring transition is tough on most horses, and as the temperatures are rising, you know, we need to think about hydrating our horses, hydrating ourselves. So electrolytes are a big topic with horses. What are electrolytes? It kind of sounds like a fancy word. And why do horses and people need them?
Well, electrolytes are one of the most abundant compounds in the water in the body after water. Major electrolytes are sodium, potassium, chloride, calcium, and magnesium. They're not necessarily evenly distributed throughout the body. Certain ones you'll find, like potassium is mostly in red blood cells and nerve cells.
Okay.
Calcium is high in bone and muscle cells.
Right.
So they're present in, to some degree, in hay and grass and forages, because essentially they're minerals. But what happens is that when a horse sweats, or horses naturally lose minerals through urine and breath and sweating. So the more the horse is losing electrolytes, the more these have to be replaced. And, of course, the harder the horse works, the hotter the horse gets, the more sweat. And, you know, a horse can lose, endurance horses can lose, you know, something like 10 liters of sweat an hour on a hot day.
Wow.
A normal horse working, you know, may lose 5 liters in an hour of exercise. So it's really important to make sure that the horse has electrolytes. And, you know, commonly we all feed, you know, electrolytes in a supplement form.
Okay.
What I really recommend, because we are understanding beyond the need for, you know, sodium and chloride and potassium, the major electrolytes, is that horses need more salt than we ever really realize. And So I, year round, I recommend feeding an electrolyte blend that is either sea salt or Himalayan salt. And
okay.
I know some people like to feed, you know, they offer salt licks. Those are always good to have in stalls or out
right.
in run-in sheds. But you probably need to add a teaspoon to a tablespoon of Celtic sea salt or Himalayan salt to the feed. And
directly
in the hot summer months, then you've got to amp up the electrolytes even more. Now, the reason that I really like the sea salt sources is that they have all the trace minerals in them. When you just buy an electrolyte formula, that's, you know, just basically ground up individual minerals that are from rocks, and there's no supporting trace minerals. And I because our soils are so depleted, having that supportive trace minerals is important to the overall acid-alkaline balance, because when the horse's body starts depleting itself of electrolytes, that's when we get, you know, muscle fatigue.
Right. And it causes other problems. Yeah.
So that's why, for me, the easiest, best solution is Celtic sea salts or Himalayan salts.
Now, what is it about, you know, the trace minerals? Like, how does that, versus, like, just going and grabbing your salt shaker and pouring it over their food?
Okay, so real Celtic sea salts are gray, not white.
Okay.
Himalayan salts are pink because they have a
right.
higher iron content.
Okay.
But the gray Celtic sea salt has not been bleached.
Okay. That's what I figured.
All white table salt or white salt has a bleaching agent in it.
And I don't know if you can answer this question. They bleach it because
it looks purer.
Okay.
The process of making table salt is to remove all the impurities. And what the salt companies consider impurities are things like magnesium, zinc, copper, all the other minerals, all the other important things. So funny. The Celtic sea salt has been harvested the same way for 400 or 500 years. And literally they rake up in pools the salt from the salt water and let it dry
in
the sun.
Oh, okay.
And
so like
that's
off the beach or in kettle pools.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. I find it funny, you know, that what we consider impurities are like necessary things that the body needs. And you know, I find too, you know, for me in the summer months that, you know, I tend to drink a lot of water anyway, but water doesn't do enough. Like the electrolytes are so important.
They're critical.
And the salt.
And when you think about it, water in a horse, 65% of the horse is made of water, but the next most important element in terms of percentage.
And, you know, salt, we have a love-hate relationship with salt, right? You know, it's an important thing, but if we get too much of it, then it, you know, it tends to be an issue. Do you find that with the horses too, or are they
no.
just
No, in fact, we're finding that they need much more salt than we ever knew.
Okay.
I mean, sometimes when it's really hot, my horses will get a tablespoon twice a day of Celtic sea salt.
Okay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
So the recommendations are, you know, to have the blocks where, or some type of free choice, that there's always pros and cons,
yes,
right?
You cannot rely on, you know, there was a theory that horses will choose, you know, to eat the salts when they need it. And I think to some degree that's true, but once the depletion has started, they're not necessarily going to go eat a salt block.
Right. That makes sense. So just assisting them. Would you recommend, you know, starting small, like you were saying, like a teaspoon, and then working your way up? Depending on, it's going to be individual to the horse, right? Like how much work,
correct?
You know, how much heat, how much they're sweating, all that. But
yeah.
Would you recommend going slow, small, and then building up depending on their workload and the heat?
Correct. I mean, a high performance horse should be on a tablespoon even in the winter.
Okay.
But a pleasure horse, or a horse that's not a young horse, that's not really in heavy training, it's just in sort of getting started, light work, maybe a teaspoon in the winter. But that all needs to be increased in the summer when it gets hot and humid, or
right.
just hot and they start sweating. But
right.
if you're going to add a supplemental electrolyte, then you wouldn't need to double up on the sea salt. You just
okay.
give that
and
once a day and the electrolytes once a day.
Okay, and you have, BioStar has an electrolyte supplement, correct?
Well, we have a unique electrolyte supplement in that
okay.
it combines three different salts, Celtic sea salt, Himalayan salt, and Hawaiian black lava salt. And the reason we include the black lava salt is because of the charcoal content. That absorbs toxins, which horses
right.
produce, obviously, when they're working. So that
right.
helps absorb toxins and get rid of them. Remember, the kidneys are going to function as filters for the minerals. So anything that's in excess goes through the kidneys and out.
Right, through the urine. That makes sense. And
yeah.
I've learned, if your dog absorbs poison that they're not supposed to, like rat poison, they feed them charcoal to absorb what
correct.
Hopefully
in fact,
forgets it does.
There is some interesting studies going on showing how charcoal is effective against some heavy metal poisoning, like high amounts of arsenic.
Oh, okay. Well, great.
So, which is great news because we do have some contaminated areas and foods, particularly rice, that can have a high arsenic content.
Right. That makes sense. Well, this is good. The more that we are aware of, you know, things that can help us combat and toxins, it's great. So what is the name of the BioStar electrolyte supplement?
It's called Starlight.
Starlight, great. And they can find it on BioStarUS.com, correct?
Correct.
And you have a couple of blogs out there that talk about electrolytes and things. So if you want more information, you should visit the website as well. Well, Tigger, thank you so much. Now we're going to be prepared beforehand so that we can, for ourselves and for our horses, we can stay hydrated when the heat comes on because it's just around the corner. So thanks so much.
It is just around the corner. Okay, well, thank you too, Kim.
Okay, I think we're back now. Can you hear me, Kim?
I can hear you now, yes.
All right. Sorry about the technical difficulties. We figured it out. Well, you're listening to a very interrupted Horses in the Morning this morning. this is what happens sometimes when you go on the road. But I was just saying that if Christine is listening, the one we're doing the reading for this morning, we're having trouble reaching her, so she could give us a call at 347-637-3238, 347-637-3238, and that phone number is also on our website at horsesinthemorning.com. If you could give us a call, that would be appreciated, and we can get your reading of Pebbles done. I was telling you before we started the show today that I spent some time with listeners over the weekend and also with a couple of our hosts. And one of our hosts, who is a Grand Prix rider, said that she does animal communication with her horses. And I was kind of surprised at that. And, you know, some of the listeners said they love listening to this segment. I'm sure you run into this all the time. They love listening to this segment, but they're not sure they believe in it, but they listen to it. And I'm sure that you have that all the time when you're talking to people who are on the fence.
Absolutely. You know, it's really interesting, you know, to talk with different people and sometimes when I'm at expos, you know, I'll have a booth and I put a little sign up that says animal readings, you know, $1 a minute, just kind of like the psychic readings.
Oh, really?
And yeah, and the comments that I get are hysterical. Like, I had a gentleman, I was in Wichita, Kansas for the horse expo out there, and he stopped by. He's like, well, what are the animals going to read to me?
That's pretty good.
It just made me laugh, right? I'm like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. We can pull out a Sesame Street book or something, you know. And then you'll see people, they may not say anything to me, but they'll look at the sign, and they'll do, like, double take or triple take, and you can see, like, the wheels turning, like, well, what the heck does that mean? And then some people will just come out and ask, well, what's an animal reading? And so then I explain it, and you just watch their facial expressions, and some people are like, oh, that's so cool, and they have to have it right now. And other people are like, well, how does that work? And then, you know, I go explain it, and you just kind of see them, how they're processing it, and some people walk away, some people are ask more questions. So it really is interesting to watch people's reactions to it.
I just got a message from one of our listeners who you did a reading for before, and she said, I was on the fence, but after I heard, I am a believer for sure, she was spot on my horse. So there you go.
What?
I just got
Thank
that message
you.
Just now.
Thank
so
you.
So she was on the fence and is a believer now, and I think you probably find that happens is after you do a reading for someone and they go, oh, wow. And that then they become a believer. Sometimes, I guess, hearing is believing, and especially when it's personal to your horse.
Exactly. And, I mean, you know, obviously, like with the listeners, right, I've never met in person. I've never met the listeners. I never met their horse, you know. So I just have the photo. And so how else, you know, how else would I know those things unless the horse actually said? So it does make believers out of people that are on the fence in those situations, absolutely. But I appreciate
well,
that feedback.
Well, yeah, you know, I was trying to find out what the listeners are liking and not liking and that kind of thing. And, you know, I wanted to say, too, if you want to have your horse read, just drop me an email, glenn@horseradionetwork.com. That's GLENN at horseradionetwork.com, and we'll get you set up. It might be a couple months, but we'll get you set up in the lineup. Well, now, Kim, we're going on
yeah,
for... Yeah.
Hold on, Glenn. It doesn't have to be a horse. If they have a dog or something else that they have something going on with that they would, you know, prefer to have the reading on, that's fine, too. It can be any animal. I mean, obviously, it's a horse show, so majority is going to be...
Kim?
What's that?
Do you do spouses? Can you read spouses?
What is that?
I was asking if you could read spouses.
Oh, spouses.
You know.
I thought you said spouseless. I'm like,
no,
what the
I
heck?
Spouses.
Spouseless. I was like, I've never heard of that animal. What's that?
I didn't know if you did marriage counseling that way, too, is what I was asking.
No. But that's where horses are good. Yeah, I stay away from the humans. People ask me, that's the other question that I get, too. Do you read humans? No,
yeah.
I do not
no,
read humans.
No, they're too weird.
No. My cousin is a medium, so she does the dead people. But I stay away from humans. I much prefer the animals. But
you know, to be honest, I don't want to know what the dead people are saying. I kind of want to stick my head in the sand on that one. Just well, Kim,
some of them are rather talkative.
That's the problem. They were talkative when they were alive, and now they're more talkative. Well, let's do this. Let's go on with our next segment. You are going to talk about how horsemanship is a metaphor for life, and I was anxious to hear what you had to say about that.
Yeah, so in all the work, you know, that I've done in starting horses and training horses and teaching riding lessons, I really have come to realize how your interaction with the horse really does apply to everything in your life, because it's about communication. It's about relationship, right? Or at least I hope it is. with your horse. It's about relationship. And, of course, leadership comes in how? Sorry, my cat just bit me. Comes into play as well. And so I'd be having these conversations with my clients as we're doing lessons, and I find that they would start to notice that how they would interact with the horse, they would see parallels with how they were interacting with certain people at work. So if they were having an issue with one of their coworkers, let's say, you know, boundaries are a good one. So there'll be a coworker that, you know, doesn't respect your personal boundaries. It's like really rude to you. And it could be physical boundaries. It could be, you know, how they talk to you. Maybe they're really demanding, or they just don't have a lot of respect for you, talk over you in meetings. It could be anything along those lines. And so I'd start to see that come into play with the lessons in how, if the horse decided the horse wanted to do something, how the rider would respond. So are they going to just accept that and go and do what the horse wants? Or are they going to try to clarify and say, no, I really would prefer that you do this or do that? And so I'd see this over and over again, and I'm like, oh, this is interesting. And one particular client of mine, she would start to see this awareness and would correlate it, like I said, to, you know, relationships at work. And then she would actually work through it on the horse and how she would adjust her communication to be more clear and to set her boundaries a little bit more firmly. And then, you know, the next week she would come, she'd say, oh, you know what, I actually applied this at work. And it worked in establishing stronger boundaries with her coworkers. And I thought, wow, this is really cool, right? So how can we, you know, extract what we're doing with the horses and apply that to our spouses, to our friends, to our significant others, to our coworkers, to our bosses? And I think the biggest piece comes down to, you know, the communication. So we talk a lot, or I talk a lot when I'm teaching, you know, the clearer that you can be with horses. It's like yes or no, black or white. If you do a maybe or a gray area with a horse, they just don't understand. It doesn't make sense to them. So in all of our communication systems, right, the clearer that we are, sorry, my cat's clawing me, and it hurts. So I had to get really clear and set a boundary.
You need to communicate because, with that cat.
How's that? Oh. Right? Okay, boundary. You just like
yeah,
on
exactly.
My leg.
Exactly. I have a direct line with mine. Ah!
Because before I was just kind of, you know, I wasn't being very clear with him. I was in the middle. I was being muffled about what I wanted him to do. So when he clawed me, boom, I got real clear. Stop that, go away. So there's a perfect example. I'm sure you guys have all seen that, right? You're kind of soft with whatever you're saying, and then you get to the point, okay, nope, this is what I mean. Very, very clear. Now I totally lost my train of thought. What was I saying before,
Glenn?
Are
you saying, Kim, that political correctness does not work with animals? Is that what you're saying? Don't be vague. Don't skirt around topic. Just be straight. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know if you want to quote me on that, but yes, be straight.
Well, you know, a lot of what we call political correctness in this day and age, a lot of that is skirting around an issue that is uncomfortable, right?
It's very true. Yes, you have an excellent point, Jen. Yes, it is. It's sugar-coating.
Maybe you really don't want your cat to claw you, but you're uncomfortable saying no because you want your cat to love you.
Right.
The poor cat doesn't know the difference. You just need to be clear with the cat.
Right. And you know, that applies to children, too, right? You want to be
yeah.
your child. But at the end of the day, you're a parent. You're not your child's friend. You need to set those boundaries and let them know that, hey, you know what, this is not okay. This behavior is unacceptable. Or, you know, I really need you to, you know, to do this or to listen to me. And I'm doing it from a space of love and to protect you. So, yeah, I've seen that as well, where I had a client had two boys, and he was all about being their friend. And they had, you know, they struggled a lot. Now, with my clients and stuff, I do not offer marital advice or parenting advice or anything like that. I'm just an observer. But through all the years of doing this work, that's where I've really seen that horsemanship is a metaphor for life. And I'll see how people interact with a horse tells me a lot about them. And so, and then their stories come out, you know, in our work. They'll start telling me about something that's going on with work or something that's going on with one of their children or whatever the case might be. And then I can see the parallel with it with the horse. So then I can help them become better in their communication with the horse. And with, you know, with my one client, we talk about it a lot, so it's fine. It's just that door is open. With my other clients, I just hope that they start to see that correlation and can apply those skills in other areas of their life.
You know,
and
it's interesting because I was just going to say before you go on, it's interesting because some people, when they're having a bad day and they're agitated and you know, everything's going wrong, they go out to their horses for comfort. I can't. That's not a time I go out and see my pony because I don't want to project that on him. So
right.
I don't do it at that point. Then I just need some chill time, you know. So
right.
So I, you know, it's completely the opposite. It's completely the opposite for me. Is that weird? Because I know a lot of people use horses as therapy, but when I'm agitated or having a bad Lyme day or, you know, something like that, I just can't do that. And is that weird? Am I the only one?
No, I don't think so, Glenn. I think I would say I agree with you. I would say the majority of us do go to our horses to seek because they're just so loving and so forgiving. And we really can, whether we talk it out or we just kind of open our hearts and just, you know, energetically express what's going on, we feel acceptance from them and the love, and that's why we all do it. I certainly do it as well. But I hear you in what you're saying about not wanting to project that onto them. And there's that's a whole other conversation that we could talk for quite at length about, as far as, you know, always projecting your stuff onto the horses. For the most part, you know, they're willing to accept it and roll with it, but sometimes it can be a little too much. And it actually happens with people, too. We've all had those people, right, that they just have a lot going on in their life, and it's kind of almost like they're constantly spewing. And they don't even know that they're doing it, but they're like spewing their stuff all over you, and there you sometimes you get residue, you know, on your energetic field from them. And it's rather tiresome after a while, and sometimes you don't want to be around them. So
residue.
So I can see that's a greater level of awareness, I think, Glenn, that you
have. I didn't
think
I'd hear those two words together this morning. I have to tell you.
We are just full of everything today.
Yes. It is someday. All right, let's do this. And you know, I do want to have that conversation with you at some point in the future because I think it is interesting how people deal, and everybody deals a little differently when they're having
right.
a bad day. And I think it depends what the bad day is too, don't you? I mean, you know, there are different kinds of bad days. So I think it depends
Absolutely.
What that is.
Absolutely.
And by the way, those people that are spewing all the time, we all try and avoid, don't we? I mean, they're the ones who
exactly.
go,
exactly.
Oh.
So what I would recommend is, you know, sometimes you can't let go in other spaces, but you can let go near your horse. And so one way that you can feel comfortable doing that without feeling like you're spewing it all over your horse is these are great visuals this morning, by the way.
Yes.
I
apologize to anybody who has a cold.
Is just imagine instead of like it just, you know, instead of a projectile, sorry, this is visual is getting worse, just try to send it back down to the earth. So like, exactly, instead of a 360 projectile, just let it come out, let it go, but visualize it going down to the earth. Because actually, if you want to get really spiritual and goofy, Mother Earth really loves recycling that type of stuff. So that's what she's here for. There's a lot of, like, you know, native teachings along those lines where she will take, you know, those emotions and things and just do what she does with them. So if you can just visualize it going back down to the earth instead of outwards, then that'll help protect you and your horse and anybody else that's in the vicinity. So a little tip on that. But I wanted to talk also as far as how I kind of use, and use isn't the right word, but combine all this stuff to help people almost from a life coach perspective. And I actually hate that term, but it's just everybody understands it when you say it. So it's doing the groundwork with horses. And now everybody hates, horse people hate groundwork, right? But I got to tell you, it is like one of the most important things that you can ever do with your horse. And my very first horse, I did it all wrong. Like, I didn't do any of the groundwork. I used a butt rope to get him in the trailer. Like, I made all the mistakes, right? But that's how you learn. So with my next horse, the current horse that I have now, my black horse, Knight, who I've had for 12 years, I decided I'm going to do things differently with him. So I started with groundwork first. And he had never been in a two-horse straight load trailer before. And I taught him how to load 1 foot at a time. And it was through that groundwork. And the key with the groundwork is there's so many magical things that are happening, right? It's that communication system that we were just talking about, how important that is. Establishing trust, respect, boundaries, and then leadership. I wouldn't have been able to teach him all that stuff if all those pieces weren't in place, if I hadn't done the groundwork. And I've ridden him in the mountains in a halter because of it. So it really, truly is amazing once you start to see the magic happening between the two of you in that partnership building, in that relationship building. And it doesn't matter if your horse is, you know, 2 years old or if your horse is 20 years old. You can start over and you can do the groundwork and just exponentially expand your relationship with your horse. And that's kind of what I wanted to bring up today, was for everybody to just think about that. And no matter if you're Grand Prix level dressage or you just like to trail ride, you know, you do reining or you're a hunter jumper or eventer or whatever, you know, you really, really need all those pieces, right, to succeed at whatever it is that you're doing. And so I hope that I just want you to think about it and consider the possibilities in having that amazing relationship, and that's how you get it, is through the groundwork.
Very good. Thank you, Kim, for that. And we do have good news for you. Christine has called in. And we appreciate it. So let's say hi to her. Do you want to go right into the reading? Are you comfortable with that?
Yes.
Okay, good. Well, let's say hi to Christine. How are you?
Hi, I'm wonderful. How are y'all?
Sorry about connecting. We've been having issues here all morning, so we appreciate you giving us a call. So tell us, where are you from, Christine?
Texas, Cleburne, Texas.
Cleveland, Texas. I didn't know there was a Cleveland in Texas.
No, it's Cleburne. A little south of Burleson.
Where that accent. That's what it was. I love the accent, though. We're at the Road to the Horse right now, and I can tell you there's a few of those accents walking around here right now.
Awesome.
I think there's more people from Texas here than any other place. So, Christine, so what do you do for a living? Are you full-time with horses? Do you just have backyard horses? Do you ride? What's the story?
I used to do horses all the time, and I had a breeding business for years, but kind of the breeding business kind of went downhill, probably 8 years ago? So I actually right now work in a chemistry lab at a pharmaceutical company.
Oh, cool.
Wow, that's
very good. We have such smart listeners, Kim. They always make me feel dumb. You know, they always make me feel like I'm uneducated. We have doctors that listen and all these educated people, and then there's me. So, Christine, I appreciate the fact that you're so smart.
No, I'm not. I have people all the time that tell me, they go, oh, you're a chemist. And I go, no, animal science major. Just ended up here. I'm not a chemist.
I have a science background too, Christine. So,
now
a little
she's
bit
just
animal
rubbing
science,
it in.
But I have ecology and biology and chemistry and stuff too. So.
Yeah.
Well,
all
Christine,
right.
I have one more question before I turn you over to Kim, and that's what kind of horses did you breed?
Everything. I did frozen semen and cooled semen. So drove around and collected other people's horses. So got to collect and breed everything. It was amazing.
Oh, wow. Oh, very cool. Very cool. All right, Kim, I'll turn her over now. She's all yours.
Okay. So we're going to talk with Pebbles. Pebbles is
40.
Yay. So the first thing that she shows me, Christine, is she keeps kicking up her back heels.
Hold on a second. Can we learn a little about Pebbles first? Like, is Pebbles a horse or a pony? What breed?
Oh, she's a horse. She is half Appaloosa, half Hanoverian.
Okay.
And I've had her whole life. I bred her mother. And I trail ride on her some. I haven't rode her very much lately because she's had some issues, but... Yep, she's just a happy horse.
Okay, good. All right, good.
I think
that's
happy anyway.
All right, good. Well, we'll find that out. Kim's going to let us know.
Yes, she does have issues, yes. I can see why you're not riding her. So, the first image that she showed me, Christine, was of her kicking up her heels, her back heels. And so I'm like, okay, does this mean she's, like, really happy, excited? She's, like, letting energy off, which some of it is, yes. But she really was telling me that she's having, like, lots of tingling sensations, almost like, and I got the sense of, like, bugs and spiders, like, crawling all over her from, like, her mid-back all the way down to her hocks. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. So what is that? And I'm not sure if, like, she has a little, if, like, there are mites or maybe a little bit of mange. She said... Sometimes she's fine, and then the sensation just really hits her, and she kind of goes crazy. Does that?
No, I don't know anything. Yeah, no. I don't know.
Okay. When was the last time her teeth were floated?
She's due for that. I just talked to our vet this week about getting on the schedule to get that done. She had it done last year. Right around this time last year.
Okay. Yeah, she's showing me some sharp points, you know, with her molars and stuff. I also got that her jaw is locked, her shoulders and both of her shoulders and the withers are stuck. She has, on the left side, she has some ribs out as well as a hip on the left side is out as well. So if you have a chiropractor that can come and adjust her, I think that might kind of help. And I had a really difficult time, like, I don't think she knows, therefore she can't really give me an answer as to what's going on with her back end.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like circulation issues, maybe possible nerve damage, not 100% sure on that. It's like some blockage, but if you've got anybody in your area that does acupuncture or laser treatments, that will really help get things unblocked and flowing and get that sensation to stop. So it's kind of like, you know, when our foot goes to sleep, right, and we're on pins and needles, that's kind of what she's experiencing.
Okay, cool. That makes a lot of sense. In fact, had the chiropractor work on her a week ago.
Oh, okay.
And exactly everything you said. Yep, her shoulder was out, her jaw was out, her hip was out. Yeah, everything. Because she started standing funny, it was probably around November, started like camping out and not standing correctly and like would be leaning a back foot and not have her front feet straight, would always be holding her left front foot out So I started sending pictures to my vet, and we're like, this is not normal. What is going on here? And that's what she came up with. Of course, we've had bad weather, so I could never get with the chiropractor until now.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Kim, I have to ask Kim a question. When did you do the reading?
I did it yesterday.
Okay, that's interesting.
Well, and the chiropractor said, just, you know, like anybody that does chiropractor on their horse knows that nothing's going to go, you know, it's not going to stay there.
Right.
You know, it's a slow process in trying to get her muscles retrained. And of course, I'm supposed to be working her, but with the mud and all the rain we've had, I haven't been able to. I worked her a few days, and then that was it.
Well, the other key is if the teeth are not correct, the chiropractic won't hold.
Mm-hmm.
The teeth have to be correct for the body work to hold.
Yeah. Yeah, and she said that too. Yes, she needed her teeth done. So that's awesome.
So, yeah. So she's just a and what you had said, right? Like, you know, so they start to compensate, right? Like, we've all done that. We've, you know, injured something or other, and we compensate, right? So the muscles and everything else adjusts, and there's that muscle memory. So we have to change the muscle memory. We also have to convince the horse that the horse isn't in pain anymore. So that then that can start to change the muscle memory, but nothing will stay until the teeth are correct. So, great. Okay. Well, at least you're getting some answers, you know, to what's going on with her and how to resolve it. That's awesome.
Could the tingling sensations have something to do with that?
I'm sorry. So ask me that again?
You think the tingling sensations can have something to do with the work she's had done and... Because I know right after they worked on her back, she had a little bit of edema up there and stuff. So I wonder if that has part to do with the tingling.
Okay. I'll ask her right now. Hold on. Let me tap into her. Yeah. She said it's kind of a combination. So it's like the work is starting to get things to move. So she was blocked up before. And then with the work, stuff is starting to move a little bit, and then it'll block again. And then sometimes it'll release. So, yeah, that is what she's experiencing. So it's when the blocks unblock that she gets that tingling sensation that's kind of creepy-crawly to her.
Hmm.
So if you happen to be, she's asking, if you happen to be around when that happens, like, you could probably do, like, just walk her out. Or kind of just do like a really light massage. Take a soft brush, like, and groom her.
Hmm.
The other thing that you can do is you can clear her bladder meridian, and that's basically just the top line. So you would run from, you know, the pole down the neck over the – you don't have to actually touch her. It's just kind of an energetic – kind of like you're squeegeeing her off energy-wise from the pole all the way down to the bottom of her tail. Does that give you a good visual?
Yeah.
Okay. And you do it three times.
Okay.
So you just take your hands, like, and you just, your intention is just that you're clearing her bladder meridian and you're just releasing what no longer serves her, and you just swipe her three times.
Okay.
That'll help too. And then you had asked, is she happy with her new pasture mate? She said yes. Although it was kind of, at first she wasn't really sure. I got little conflicting answers, and I'm like, well, do you or do you not? Okay.
That's the way women are when they're put in any pasture. It happens every time. They're not sure, then they're sure. So, I mean.
Well, her new pasture mate is a donkey, and we've never had a donkey
before.
Never
seen a donkey? Well,
so,
that would be different.
Yeah, so I didn't know what she thought of that.
They scream twice a day, and that's annoying. So, I mean, I get it.
That's why the hesitation. She's like, I don't know. I'm like, well, either you do or you don't. And then when I kind of pushed her for it, she's like, okay, I do.
I wonder, because my plan was, if she keeps having issues with her back, if I can't get her over them well enough to ride her a bunch, was that her and the donkey would be pasture mates in their own pasture. Right now, I just threw the donkey in with everybody. But in the beginning, they didn't quite. I mean, the donkey got along, but I had a gelding that just kept chasing it all the time. But now I've noticed, like, the donkey will come right up and eat out of her hay. She'll put her ears back, but she doesn't chase her off or anything. So I wondered what she thought of her new friend.
Yeah. Yeah, and then you had asked why is she hard to catch? And she said she was just trying to get your attention, need to resolve the body issues. And then, hold on, I can't read my writing message. There's also a message that she has for you, something that you need to focus on in your life too. Very similar, like a cleansing of sorts. And she says, don't give up, and that she loves you.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah, so I think with her issues, you know, she's wanting you to be patient and just to continue to work through it. And then I don't know what's going on in your life, but if there's a little bit of a parallel there, take a look at that.
Well, now, she told me that she was really hoping for a hot pasture mate, and then you gave her a donkey. So, I mean, I think expectations were a little, you know, off there. So maybe you could reconsider her pasture mate, is all I'm saying.
I got to work on that. Don't give up, right?
You got it. Yeah, don't give up. There's a hot stud out there somewhere for her.
That's awesome.
Thank you, Christine. I hope that helped.
Christine.
We appreciate you.
Thank you.
Sorry
about
the
trouble helped.
This morning.
No, right, that's okay. Great to talk to y'all. Thanks.
All right. Take care, Christine.
All right. Thanks. Bye-bye.
You missed that one. How did you miss that? That was the most obvious thing there.
Because it was you, Gwen. She just wanted you to say it.
I know. See, she was talking to me, too. We have donkeys that live on, there's three sets of donkeys that live in farms right around us, and twice a day, and talk about loud. Oh, my God.
They are loud.
Three sets of donkeys can be very loud. I can understand her annoyance. when they're quiet,
all
they're
right.
cute. When they're loud, they're loud.
They're loud. Nah, they're cute anyway. So.
Yeah.
That's all right, we have Jesse with us, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Yes.
All right. So Jesse R. Peters is a Pirelli 4-star senior instructor, a horse development specialist, a licensed Pirelli professional, a horseman before he was even born. There's a story there. Jesse has been active in 4-H, Future Farmers of America, teaching and wanting to make a difference in the lives of horses and the people drawn to them. So welcome, Jesse.
Thank you very much. Good to be here this morning.
And you're at the horse park as well because you are participating in Road to the Horse, correct?
I'm not really participating, but we're here this weekend to make lots of connections, to talk to people, see how the weekend reveals itself, and just to have a lot of fun this weekend and connect with people and horses.
Sounds good. So tell us a little bit about your background, Jesse, and how
well
story before you were even born.
yeah. Well, have how many of you out there have been bucked off of a horse? Well. For me, the story goes back to even before I was born, and goes all the way back to Mom and Dad going trail riding and a little bit of ice rattling in a plastic cup, and Mom got bucked off. So,
oh no,
that's where the story begins. Yes.
So you really do have the true horse connection before you were born.
That's what I'm told, and so I also have something to blame all the other nonsense on that happens in my life, too.
Well, that's always good. We always like a scapegoat, right? Glenn, you like scapegoats, too.
Yeah. Yeah. So I grew up around horses, showed horses in 4-H, and my mom, I was looking back in my baby book just the other day, and Mom even made a little note in there when I was 9 years old. She said, Jesse is becoming a very natural horseman this summer, and he's riding the hair off of his Appaloosa gelding. So So we've been playing around with horses ever since I was a kid, and did the whole 4-H thing and enjoyed it to pieces. And as with most people, when you go off to college, it kind of takes a little bit of a quiet lull in your life, and then it
right.
fired up full force again after college. And I was an ag teacher for 10 years, and 6 of those years were down on the west side of Cincinnati teaching in a high school horsemanship program. And after about 1 year of teaching there, I knew there was something wrong with the Jesse Peters horsemanship program, because after about 5 ambulance runs for the high school kids, I knew that there was something definitely wrong with my program. So I went to the Ohio Equine Affair searching for a horsemanship program, you know, and this was back in 2000. And just wasn't finding anything. And so then I saw something on the program about learn the 7 games to play with your horse. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that would be at least 7 days of lesson plans. Perfect. And I went and saw Pat and Linda Pirelli, and it blew my socks off and changed my entire perspective and world around horses. And that's when I can really say that a real relationship has begun with horses in my life.
Right. I was talking earlier on the show about, for me, how horsemanship is a metaphor for life. And it applies to everything that you do, whether it's, you know, work or friendship or relationship involved. And so, and I think this is where we're going to dovetail, you know, with the work that you are doing and what you had learned and what you're applying, because you go out and you teach people, but you're also, and this is the part that fascinates me, is you're working with zoo trainers and taking the horsemanship, you know, outside of the box, right? It applies to more than just horses.
Absolutely. Back in 2008, I got a call from the Pittsburgh Zoo CEO, Barbara Baker, and she's a barrel racer on the weekends.
Okay.
And runs the zoo throughout the week. And anyway, she called and she said, you know, we're familiar with the Pirelli program, and what we've got going on with the elephants here at the zoo is nothing short of spectacular. And our elephant manager is brilliant with his elephant, and he plays with his elephants very much like the Pirelli program teaches all of us how to play with our horses, how to be recreation for our horses. She said, but the trickiest part for our elephant manager, his name is Willie Thiessen. Willie is, he has a hard time explaining to others what it is that he does with the elephants. And she said, I think if we could bring in the Pirelli Natural Horsemanship Program into the zoo, we would be able to teach our elephant trainers the language not only of the horse, but because horses are prey animals and elephants are prey animals, essentially they read the same theory book and how to be a good prey animal. And there's a lot of small differences. But inside, the wiring is still very much fundamentally the same. And she was hoping to be able to use the horses as a simulation to then teach the elephant handlers and elephant keepers to be more natural with the elephants, how to be more playful with the elephants, how to be more creative, and how to think outside the box using the language that the elephants are familiar with. And ironically enough, it's the same language that the horses understand in a herd of horses. And so I thought that was a very interesting project to take on, and it has been
kidding.
A phenomenal project.
All right.
Say that again.
What an awesome phone call.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was great. And ever since 2008, I've been going 4 times a year to the Pittsburgh Zoo, working with the crew. And basically, you know, one of the things I told Dr. Baker is, I said, I'm sorry, but I don't know the first thing about elephants, and I don't know the first thing about anything in the zoo. She said, that's all right. We want you to come as the expert of the horse, and we want you to teach us the horsemanship. It'll be our job to translate the teaching within the horsemanship program to translate that into the language that we need here in the zoo between our keepers and the animals. And it's been a lot of fun. We've been taking the horses to the zoo 4 times a year now, and we spend our mornings in theory sessions teaching the Pirelli Natural Horsemanship's personality model.
Right.
And the humanality models and how a person's personality or humanality works hand in hand with the animals that we're working with. And we really have to adapt our strategies for the animals. There's so many times that we, as animal trainers, whether we're training horses or anything else, that we expect our horses to adapt to our strategies. And
right.
The Pirelli personality model, we're taught that we need to adapt our strategies to be able to fit what the horses need and where they're at in the moment. And that can change from moment to moment, whether
Absolutely.
They're scared or confident or introverted or extroverted. And so it's really the Pittsburgh Zoo project has been a really fun project. And after about 4 years of the project, all the other zookeepers throughout the zoo, they were getting a little bit jealous of all the education and fun that the elephant team was having. And they put their foot down and said, Dr. Baker, we want some continuing education also. And so she knew how much, like you said before, how our horsemanship really is a model for how a person would want to live their lives. And so she knew that essentially the horsemanship would be a great model for any zookeeper, whether they're working with the tigers, the lions, the bears, which are all predators, or whether they're working with sharks, believe it or not, octopus, some of the big grouper fish, the sea lions, the camels, the donkeys, the zebra. We even did a fun project with the zebras lately, and the giraffes, and it's just been a phenomenal project. And then we've even rolled it out into the Human Resources Department has been joining us for the training, because as much
awesome.
As it is an animal training program, it's also it teaches us a lot of life skills.
Exactly.
That are,
exactly.
Yeah.
Oh, I love it. I just absolutely love it. That's so awesome. So I'm curious, though, since you've been doing it for 4 years, have you been able to pick up on some of, like, the elephant nuances?
Well, and that's one of the questions I get from everyone. What's it like to work with an elephant? And I always, my answer is always, I am passionate about horses as a person. That is what makes me tick. Not only passionate about horses, but I'm passionate about teaching people how to teach horses. And
right.
I have no desire to work and play with elephants. So I've been sitting back watching the keepers play with the elephants. And it's been really interesting that as a team, we sat down and we took the horsonality model that Pat and Linda Pirelli put together, and we took that model and we stripped it down and put it back together design basically an elephant analogy chart that we would be able to better read the elephants and understand what it is that they need in the moment. Because if you have an elephant who's scared, you're going to handle your strategies are going to be much different than if you're working with an elephant that's, let's say, confident or
right.
Really okay in his environment. And So sitting back watching some of the sessions that the keepers have had, I was really able to see, just because my horse education and horse knowledge and knowing how to read a horse, it's really interesting to be able to watch the elephants and go, that's unconfident, that's confident, that being, and really breaking down each of the behaviors and being able to help the keepers retreat in the right moments, and then how to encourage the elephants and up their game, up their play, you might even say, in the other moments and be able to put more variety into a session. So it's been, yeah, really interesting.
That's awesome. Well, and I think, you know, you're very well aware of this, and it's part of what you teach, right? It's not a cookie cutter process with horses or with, you know, any animal for that matter, because each animal is an individual, and it most, and you mentioned this, it is our job to adapt to them, to figure out who they are, how they learn in the moment, because you're right, it changes from moment to moment. They can go from being, you know, scared to being, you know, comfortable, or in some cases, you know, confident, depending on what it is that, that you're doing, and just the ability to be able to read that, and for you to adjust to them, to assist them in their process, that's our job.
Absolutely. We're going to see it this weekend down at Road to the Horse, as the different trainers are going to be in there working with those new 4/6 colts that are coming in. You know, they're going to be able to put more pressure and teach more things to the colt when he's confident. But in those moments,
right,
they're scared. They need to back off and use more consistency in their approach and more subtlety and more retreat in the things they're asking. And when that colt builds confidence, they're going to be able to take that learning and be able to grow with it exponentially. And we find the same thing in the zoo environment. Last spring, the zoo, they've gone about 4 years approximately without having any zebras in the zoo. And the Pittsburgh public, they had demanded the return of the zebra. And so they redid the zebra exhibit, and it's been phenomenal seeing the new zebras come in. And they brought in two young zebras that actually grew up their first year in a petting zoo environment. So they were really tamed down. So
right,
it was really interesting because the zebras, as a species, they're so close to the wild end of the wild game or domesticated spectrum. They're so much on that wild end. It was very interesting meeting these two zebras that had been tamed down and hand raised and everything, and just to see where they're so dull and unexpressive in some areas, and then they're very much reactive in other areas. It's
right,
really fascinating how quickly they can change, and knowing that, you know, they're going to be, if their confidence is breached, you know, they're going to listen to Mother Nature pretty quickly. And
yep,
and that's where, you know, anyone's safety can be in jeopardy. So it's been a fun project to be able to grow with the zebra project over the last year and to teach them new behaviors that encourage their confidence and their curiosity and really see them develop. And it's really been, the last time I was there, I saw the zebras again and their lights were on. You know, have you ever, and many people out there listening, they've met or seen a horse somewhere, maybe at a horse show or something, where the lights were on but nobody was home?
Yep.
Well, that's kind of how the zebras came into the Pittsburgh Zoo, and the Pittsburgh Zoo staff has turned the lights on for those little guys, and they are getting so playful, so full of life, so curious, and it's been really a lot of fun seeing
that's awesome,
all the different species unfold.
That's beautiful. Oh, great. So, Jesse, where can people find out more about you, and what's your contact information, what's your website? I know that you do a lot of workshops and stuff like that too, so...
Right. I've got a full schedule throughout the year, and most weekends you're going to find me somewhere in the Midwest teaching Pirelli Natural Horsemanship. And you'll be able to find more information about my events on www.jesse, J-E-S-S-E, the letter R, and then Peters, P-E-T-E-R-S.com, jessertpeters.com. And if you want to email me to find out more information, you can email me at Jesse, J-E-S-S-E, at jessierpeters.com. And you can learn more information. And if you go to my website, there's even some different tabs on there that you'll be able to find out, see some pictures from the Pittsburgh Zoo under the gallery and things like that if you just want to see some of the different interactions we've done. I've been, myself and the Pittsburgh Zoo have been highlighted on Good Morning America in the past, and we've got links to all of that under the gallery. So all kinds of things in there to learn about, and then if you're interested in learning more about the Pirelli program, there are licensed Pirelli professionals all over the United States and the world that you can contact, and I am most readily available in Michigan, Ohio, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, all over and anywhere that I'm needed. So it's been a lot of fun.
Jesse,
go ahead.
Yeah, no, thank you so much for coming on the show. Thank you for the work that you're doing, not only with the horses, but for the zoo as well. I'm sure the animals are very, very grateful, so I appreciate that very much.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for having me, and I hope that anyone who wants to find out more information feels welcome to contact me or any other Pirelli professional to learn more about how to turn the lights on for your horse, and can you be as much recreation for your horse as what your horse is for you.
Amen to that. Well, thanks, Jesse. Well, have a great weekend in Kentucky, and I will be following up with you with information for the show.
All right. If anyone's actually going to rode to the horse, I'll be the very tall guy, so feel free to come up and say hi.
There's only one tall guy. There's only one tall cowboy, and it's going to be Jesse here at Road to the Horse.
It really is. The guy is 6'7" and
Whoa.
Really good looking. But, you know.
Oh, okay.
No one.
Well, then I'll definitely be looking for
but
you.
He's
You'll
married.
Be spot then. Thanks, Jesse. Take
you guys
care.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Jesse.
6'7", I guess, yeah, that does qualify as really tall.
Yes, it
does. He doesn't
yes,
have
does.
To stand on the ladder to talk to the elephant. He just is right there, eye level.
Right.
No problem. Well, that's very interesting. Well, we appreciate you joining us today and living through our technical difficulties. We'll be back here tomorrow morning from Road to the Horse with all kinds of Road to the Horse coverage, hopefully with less technical problems. Kim, I appreciate you putting up with us today.
Well, I'm a whole new background
oh, sure.
tomorrow. No worries.
Yeah. You gotta love, you know, you just got to love the gremlins every now and then because they just keep life entertaining.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much, everybody, for joining us. As I said, we'll be here tomorrow, Saturday and Sunday. We're doing special Saturday and Sunday editions of Horses in the Morning from Road to the Horse, so we can keep you up to date on everything that's happening. I know we have a lot of listeners coming out, so we're looking forward to meeting all of you as well. Be sure to stop by. We are set up. Our booth is set up directly across from the Twisted X booth at the entrance to the shopping. So this could be dangerous for me this weekend, Kim. I have to take Jennifer's wallet away.
Oh, I think you have to take your own wallet away.
Yeah, that's probably true.
You're
I usually end up
her.
Spending more than her. I do. I usually end up spending more than she does. Kim, why don't you give out all of your information?
Sounds good. Well, first I'd like to thank our show sponsor, which is BioStar US, authentic whole food nutrition for horses and dogs, KB Natural Horsemanship, building quality partnerships, and lasting relationships from the ground up. I also have a Groundwork DVD where I teach you all the amazing stuff that we talked about on the show today, so you can find that on my website, kbnaturalhorsemanship.com. Kim Baker, Animal Communicator, Animals Talk, I Listen, which you guys hear every month. And also, if you're interested in the photography stuff, it's kimbakermedia.com. Beautiful animal, horse, and nature photography that inspires you and feeds your soul. Be sure to like us on Facebook, The Kim Baker Show. Follow us on Twitter, Kim Baker Show. Our horse wisdom message for this month is life is full of possibilities. Believe. And our closing prayer is may there be peace in your spirit, peace in your heart, peace in your life, and may there be peace on earth. Namaste. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. Bye, Jen. You guys have fun. I'm going to run off to yoga, so enjoy the rest of your weekend. What are you laughing about?